we are launching a new series today through the book of Proverbs, and it's called Crossroads and Choosing Wisely. We all come to crossroads in our lives where the choices we make are crucial to our future. I think back to, especially because I was talking to the high school graduates last night, I remember my last year of high school, I made a whole lot of choices that put me on a bad path. I got away with a lot, particularly my last year of high school. I was in a position where people kind of just always gave me slack. I got good grades, and I decided, even without going to classes a lot, and so I said, you know what? I don't have to go to school, to class that often. And I would just hang out in the auditorium, or I'd just go out and go home, and I'd start cutting classes because I was still able to get good enough grades. No one said anything. Teachers didn't really bother me about it. I'd have 14, 15, 20 cuts in a class, and somehow that was okay. I don't know why. Someone should have told me stop doing that. But I kept doing that kind of thing. And that carried over into my first year of college, where, you know, I just wanted to just do my thing, and I thought I could get away with it, and I could just choose whatever I want. Began to choose to leave church early on Sunday nights so I could go hang out with my friends from work and play softball. Look, I wasn't drinking like they were drinking, but I was making a choice to go and spend time there. And so I'd show up at church, and I would work in the sound room, and we had a room. So I could just be in the back, and while I'm in that room, I would change into my softball clothes. As soon as the pastor started preaching, I'd leave. He was a very boring preacher, all right? Not like what you guys have. So, you know, I thought, I can get away with this. It's okay. And by the time I finished my first year of college, I was on academic probation because my GPA was too low. Now, listen, I'm not stupid, but I was being very stupid. And it was like this series of small choices I was making, putting myself in places that, and a lot of times I didn't realize what would the repercussion be of this choice or of this choice or of this choice. But they began leading me on a path away from God, and I kind of woke up at the end of my first year of college on academic probation, far from God. I'm like, how did I get here? And I talked to the high school students about this last night, about crossroads in their life. And, you know, leaving high school is an obvious crossroads where you know where I go to school or what career path I choose, what major I choose. You know, okay, this is going to be really important for my future. That's obvious. But there are, those of you who are grown up a little bit, maybe you've realized by now that the big crossroads are not the only crossroads. That life is full of crossroads, places where you're going to make a decision that's going to either lead you toward God or away from God, toward life or toward death. And it's not always so obvious which one to pick, because just staring at a road, you can't tell what's at the end of it, right? How many of you, when you see a road, you know exactly what's at the other end of the road? You can't know for sure. It's difficult. And what you and I need and often lack, and the reason we end up looking back at our lives sometimes and saying, how did I get here? How did I get to this place where I'm far from God? It's because we came to crossroads and we didn't recognize we were at them, or we came to crossroads and we made a choice based on our common sense or some other motivation, and we ended up choosing wrong. Because what we didn't have, what we lacked, was wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see the end of the road from the beginning. To stand at the beginning of a road and see where it's going to end and take you. That's wisdom. To be able to recognize the future consequences of a decision you're about to make. Wisdom's the ability to recognize the road that's going to lead you toward God and life and the joy he has for you versus toward some other road that'll lead you away from him with fake joy and end and death. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at different crossroads in the book of Proverbs as it lays them out. We're going to talk about the crossroads of money, of work, of friendships, of sex, of discipline and tough times in life. We're going to look at all these crossroads and try and understand what's wisdom for this crossroad when I come to it. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and I know a bunch of you here probably don't really even know who Solomon is. So let's just step back and say, Here's who wrote this book of the Bible, Proverbs, that we're going to be spending so much time in. His name was Solomon. He's the son of David. David was the second king of Israel and the greatest king of Israel, right? You've heard of David and Goliath probably, right? Those of you who don't know the Bible very well, you at least have probably heard of David and Goliath. And David became that second king, and Solomon was his son. Solomon became king after David. And on the night Solomon became king, he had a dream or a vision where God came to him and asked him, "Tell me whatever you want and I'll give it to you." How many of you want God to show up tonight in a dream and say that to you? "Whatever you want, Solomon, I will give it to you." And Solomon replies to God and says, "You have shown such kindness to David, my father, and now you've given me the throne after him. Lord, I want to follow the promises that you've given my father David, and you've made me king now over these people that are as numerous as the dust in the earth. So Lord, here's what I ask. God, here's what I ask." Solomon says, "Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to know how to rule over these people and lead these people. I need wisdom." That's what he asks for. And God looks at him and says, "Since your heart's desire was not for wealth or possessions or for me to kill your enemies or to make your life comfortable and give you everything you wanted, I am going to give you the wisdom you need to lead my people so that you're able to make the wise choice in every situation. And then I'll also take care of you and give you these other things as well." And Solomon became known as the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. And he writes this book of Proverbs to his son and to us, as a way of saying, "Here, son," before he's even come to the point where he's at crossroads. Probably his son, you can picture him as like a little boy, a young boy. And he's trying to get him ready. He's saying, "Son, here's what you need. You need wisdom in life." He wants him to understand that there are two roads in life, a road that leads to life and a road that leads to death, a road that leads to God and a road that leads away from God. And there are crossroad moments in life where we're going to have to choose between these two roads. But in order to recognize that you're at a crossroads, you need something. And in order to know which road to choose at these crossroads, because it's hard to tell them apart sometimes, you're going to need something. And that something is wisdom. And that takes us to, we're going to look at Proverbs 2 today. So you can follow along in the app. I didn't put it in your bulletin because it's just too long. So you can follow along in the app or on the screen. Or if you've got your Bible with you, open that. Proverbs chapter 2, this is Solomon writing to his son. And we're going to start in verse 1. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures." Now, I know you probably want to get to the next part, right? The then, right? Well, I've heard all these if, and we kind of want the then. It's like if I sing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. No, you can't have the end note. And I know that's frustrating, but we're going to stop with the if, okay? If all these things, if you receive my words, if you pay attention and listen and focus on them, on wisdom, if you call out and cry out for wisdom, if you search for it like it's a treasure, right? If you do those things, we need to spend some time in the if and pay attention to the if before we can go to the then. It's like as a kid, your parents saying, "If you get good grades, then," and the kid starts to assume, "If you get good grades, we'll give you a car." "I'm getting a car." "Well, whoa, you're not getting a car yet." Don't forget the if you get good grades. So we got to focus on the if. The if is really important. If you, to summarize what he says in those first four verses, if you pursue wisdom is what he's saying. Pursue wisdom. And this is probably the most important part of the message here. So just focus on this verse, because what you're going to walk out of here and really want to know is, how do I pursue wisdom? And what he tells us here is four things about pursuing wisdom. The first one is you have to accept the source as God. And that's one of the hardest choices we make, because we're often looking for what should be the source of wisdom for me in my life. Should it be these columns I'm reading? Should it be this blog I'm reading? Should it be my friends and family around me? Should it be the things I'm studying in school? What will be my source for wisdom? The first thing to settle is God is my source for wisdom. Accept his commands, because his commands are not about, here's what I want you to do, I'm trying to control you. God's commands, read through scripture, are always about helping us find a way to live the life of love and joy. Think of the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. Is that God trying to like mess with us and make our life hard? No. That's the way to joy. Adultery kills joy, kills love. Don't steal. Oh God, you're such a joy kill. No, that's the way toward joy, right? All of God's laws lead us to joy. So accept God as the source of wisdom. Two, pay attention to God, to wisdom. Pay attention. Turn around and look for it. Stop being distracted by everything else and pay attention to wisdom. Three, verse three, call for wisdom. Search for it. Wisdom! Look, go looking for wisdom. Go yelling for wisdom like a guy looking for World Series tickets outside the stadium. I need tickets. They're like desperate to get it, right? Go out and yell for it. Don't be shy. Don't be shy to put yourself out there and say, I'm trying to find wisdom. What do you know? Go look for it. And you can see as you go through this list, it's progressively getting more and more involved, right? You're getting more and more, I want it. I accept it's from God. I'm gonna pay attention. I'm gonna call, give me more. And then the last one he says is search for it. Search for it like it's a treasure that's been hidden that you want more than anything else. More than that career path you're looking for, more than that spouse you might be looking for. I want wisdom more than anything else. I want God's wisdom. And this is crucial because we live in a world that and in a culture that doesn't have time to really search for wisdom. We've kind of become apathetic. Surveys have even shown, they've asked people, do you believe there's a purpose and a meaning in life that you should find? And a majority of the people surveyed who answered said, no, I'm not really worried about trying to figure out purpose because people have given up on the idea that they could really find one. And so the purpose we all really adopt is my comfort and my entertainment, my joy, having enough so I can just have a happy life here and now. And we settle for having information. We live in a world that's information crazy. Gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of information are coming in more than any other generation has ever had. But without wisdom, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to put it together and really turn it into direction. And we begin to substitute knowing things for having wisdom about what to do and where to go with those things we know. You think about most of the people you know. Say, hey, do you spend any time pursuing wisdom? Talking to God, searching, pursuing God, reading God's word, or reading books. Do you pursue wisdom? No, we don't have time for that. There's Netflix and there's Amazon Prime and there's Chernobyl, right? There's all kinds of things for me to put my time into. Why would I stop and turn everything off and actually pursue wisdom? Read, dig. Try to know, pray, search, talk. Or we're busy, I got to do this, I got to take my kids there, I got to get here, I got to get that. And how do you know you're raising your kids right if you never stop to pursue wisdom? How do you know you're making the right decisions with work if you never stop to pursue wisdom because you're so tired when you come home from work that you just click, oh. If we're not pursuing wisdom, then what's going to happen when you come to a crossroads? Will you even know you're there? And will you know what to do? So I know people get upset. They think, you know, atheism is a problem in our world. People who don't believe there is a God. I don't think that's the biggest problem for us. So agnosticism, people who don't think we can know whether there is or isn't a God. That's a big deal. Most people would say they're agnostics. But honestly, I'm going to make up a word here. I think I'm making it up. I'm going to copyright it, trademark it right here. Apathism, I think, is really our biggest issue. We're apathetic about knowing God, about knowing and discovering purpose, about searching for wisdom. There's just too many other things to occupy our time, too many other things to play with and entertain ourselves with, and we've been distracted. We're like little babies with a shiny object. Oh, let me go get that. And we don't dig in and search for wisdom. This is one of our biggest issues. But if we don't do the if we don't do the if, then we won't ever get the then. We've got to do the if. If we will pursue wisdom, then, and he tells us two things are going to happen. If you and I pursue wisdom, two things will happen. The first one is this. You'll know God. To know God is to know wisdom. Wisdom is not just some mystical knowledge that you have. Oh, I should go over here now, right? Just as the beam falls. No, that's not what wisdom is like. Wisdom is found in a relationship with God. Wisdom is relationship. God is wisdom. So he says, Proverbs 2, 5 through 8, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of the saints. If you pursue wisdom, then you'll know how to hear and recognize God's voice. When Christina and I, there was a time we were in seminary trying to figure out an obvious crossroads. Where are we going to go and what are we going to do? And we were talking to a church somewhere else about maybe going and working there and praying about it. And not because we're geniuses, but because God's wisdom, we were able to recognize that situation and say, you know what? This is going to take us over there. This isn't right. This is not a path that's going to lead us to life. There's something wrong here with what's happening in that road. And so we walked away from it because we spent time praying, asking God for wisdom so we could know his voice in a situation. There's other times where it's like, God, we really want to go do this. We'd really like this in our lives. We'd really like that. God would give us wisdom to recognize our motivations. Sometimes the problem with a path is that what's motivating me to go after it are the wrong motivations in my own life. And wisdom is what's going to help me recognize, oh, here's what's driving me to go after that. Here's what's driving me to want that. We needed wisdom. So we knew how to listen to his voice. Because sometimes when you're starting a new road, all you can see, I don't know if you're like this, I'm like this. If there's like a new road, all I can see is, oh, a new shiny road. Let me go do that. It's got to be better than the old road I'm on. And we get distracted by the new shininess of things. And so we just keep choosing, oh, here's a way. And we're not actually choosing with wisdom. We're not reflecting on our motivations and what's leading us. Because we don't know God. When you don't know God, you don't know yourself. So you pursue wisdom, you pay attention to God, you search his word, and then you're able to recognize when a situation's not going to take you to a good place or what's driving you toward it are misleading motivations. You know that because you've searched for wisdom, and in searching for wisdom, you know God, which means you know what God's heart is after, and then you know where your heart's maybe not lining up with his heart, and so now you know what to do. Search for wisdom by pursuing God. Pursue wisdom, you'll know God, because to know him is to know wisdom. And according to Solomon, God's got like warehouses of wisdom stored up. So if you feel like you need more wisdom, like you don't have enough wisdom, God's got plenty ready to go. He wants us to have it, and he wants to walk with us and guard us with that wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is a relationship with God. That's where it starts. Pursue wisdom, then you'll get this relationship with God first. The second thing that you'll get, that you and I will have, is you'll know what path to choose. Pursue wisdom, and you'll know what path to choose. He says, verse 9, then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. You'll know what path to choose. Back in the days before GPS, we used to have to rely on maps, right? And on the navigator in the car with us to read the map and tell us when to turn. This was probably the thing Christina and I most discussed when we were early in our marriage. The thing we most fought about was we'd be in the car going somewhere, she's responsible for the map and telling me where to go, and she was, in my opinion, always way too slow to tell me where to go. That's not true anymore, by the way. She's now very quick to tell me where to go. But back then, like, she'd have the map. I'd say, come on, you got to tell us where to turn, and she'd be slow on it, and I'd get upset, and I'd say, why are you so slow reading a map? And she's like, I'm not slow. I'm very good at reading maps. And anyway. We were coming from my brother's house, visiting him in Rochester, upstate New York. Drove up to Canada, spent a night in Montreal. Wonderful couple nights there. Then we were driving back down, coming into Maine, where there's a cabin we go for vacations. This is 20 years ago. And as we're going through Canada. She's trying to read the map. Now, it's in Canadian, and she doesn't speak Canadian, so that was difficult. But she told me to turn, and then I made the turn, and then she's like, oh, no, I don't think that's the right turn. I'm like, well, we took it. You figure it out now. I'm on this road. I was annoyed. That wasn't good. That wasn't a good choice at that crossroad in that moment, but it's how I felt. So I'm just driving on that road and telling her, you got to figure out, hurry up, who knows where we're going? And we hit a dirt road. So who knows where we were going? I don't know. But we hit a dirt road, and I'm going fast because, you know, I'm stupid. And so we're driving this dirt road, and I'm going too fast, and I hit this curve and start to fish and drift the back end of the car. And I'm holding it there, drifting around this corner in the dirt and the gravel, and then get it back in line. And I just, this smile came across my face. Cause I'm like, that was so cool doing that. And she even looked at me and said, you really enjoyed that, didn't you? I'm like, yes, I did. And she's like, well, you're going to have to turn around because we're lost. And so I turned around and we went back to where we came from. Wouldn't it be nice? Have you ever driven somewhere, typically you're driving home, and you get home and you're like, wait a minute, how did I get here? You like forget all the turns you made, but you made all the right turns to get home, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you could go through life that way? Whenever you come to a turn or come to roads, you just kind of know from inside, here's where I got to go, and you end up in the right place. Have this internal thing going on. What Solomon tells us is that when you pursue wisdom, what's going to happen is he tells us, it's going to come into your heart so that you'll begin to know from inside your heart which way to go when you come to a crossroad in life, a situation where you're having to make a choice between a path that's going to lead you toward God and one that's going to lead you away. You'll know you're there, first of all, and you'll know which way to go because it'll just be inside of you. You know? Should I respond to this text? Or how should I respond to this text message? You know, it's not always big crossroads. Sometimes it's little crossroads that can make a real difference. And the way you respond to just a simple text message could be a crossroad where you can either walk toward life or toward death. Should I go into partnership with this person? Should I watch this thing I'm about to watch? Should I read this thing I'm about to read? Should I listen to this? Should I give my time to this? Should I get into this new little hobby? All these sometimes little things become crossroads. And if you don't have wisdom, then you can't discern when you're at a crossroad. We're making what seems like a simple choice, an innocuous choice just to do this thing, is going to take you down a path that's going to eventually lead you away from God. And without wisdom, you won't know it. Because in the moment, it'll seem like, oh, this is fine. I'll just start to do this now with my life, with my time. But if you search for wisdom, you'll know God. And when you come to crossroads, you'll know you're at a crossroad, and you'll know how to choose the road that leads to life. What do you think is going to happen when you come to the next crossroad in your life? Later today, tomorrow, where God's way goes one direction and there's another direction that is really enticing and interesting. Will you recognize it? Will you know which way to go? What makes you think you'll know which way to go? Just because you've got so much common sense, or because you know that you've been searching for wisdom constantly and that you know God because you've been searching God and God's been filling you with wisdom? Or are you sitting here right now reflecting on your past and realizing, wow, you know, there are some crossroads in the past where I think I made some choices that have led me to a place where I maybe don't want to be. Maybe a couple years ago you said, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. And you walked away from it. And now you're realizing that in doing that, your heart's grown colder. And you're further from God than you were before. Or maybe 5, 10 years ago, you decided to start getting involved in this thing that seemed like it would be a great hobby or great fun at the time. But you realize now how that's kind of carved out a spot in your heart that's made you more cold toward God. Less connected to God. Less in relationship with God. And now you're in relationship with some other thing that's become kind of like God in your life. You keep going to that thing instead of going to God. Maybe you're even gotten to the point where you're wondering, I don't know if God's even there. You know, you'll come on Sundays, but you walk away and you live the rest of your week totally unaware of God, not connected to him. And it's because of these crossroad decisions that have been made without wisdom in your past. I can see that in my life. I hope you can see that in yours. And I hope that that will drive us to want wisdom, to want to, okay, God, I want to take that first step back onto the road, back into relationship with you. I want wisdom. Just deciding right here, right now, to pursue wisdom is the first step back onto that road. It's the first wise choice to say, I want to pursue wisdom. Because there are other paths out there that, man, they start to look like they are full of life, but they're not. They actually just lead to all kinds of other things, but they're very tempting. And here's the problem. In Solomon, now he's going to give his son and you and me two examples of paths that look good, but that might trip you up. And they look beautiful, but they lead to death. And here's the truth about them. The paths that start with life lead to death. The paths that start with life lead to death. Last year, I went to Israel with Pastor Jason. He used to be a pastor here, now works in Israel, and then several other pastors from the area. And we toured the whole country, and then we showed up in Jerusalem for the last couple days. And Jason had booked our hotel, except that I'm not saying it right. There's an S in it, hostel for Jerusalem. So we got to this hostel. It's called New Petra. So there's a picture of it. There's a reason they took the picture in the dark. Because we walk in to this hostel, and it took about an hour to check in for some reason. The lobby looked very nice. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a decent place. And then the guy says, okay, come with me. And he takes us out of the lobby into some side path that's actually outside the building, connects to some other building, and he opens this door that honestly looked like it was made of 10 sheets of paper. And here's your first room. And I look, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've stayed in crazy places around the world. This was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. I felt the bed, I could feel crunchy things between the sheet and the mattress. Went into the bathroom, and the shower and everything is there with the toilet all together. It's one of those kinds of bathrooms. The sink was literally a hole in the wall. You had to stick your hands into the hole in the wall, and there's the sink. But that was a nice room that me and the guy who's now the superintendent for all of the Assemblies of God churches in our area now, he and I stayed together. He took us then to this other area, and all of a sudden there's no roof, and it's like an open courtyard, and he goes, okay, you guys come with me, and opens another door, and there's two people just starting to get changed. Thank God it wasn't like 30 seconds later. In that room, and he's like, oh no, sorry, closes that door. Same key, walks across and opens another door. Okay, guys, here's your room, and there's five beds in there. And then he says, here's your key. It's like, wait a minute. This isn't just my key, this is everybody's key. One of the beds was moist. The bathroom had mold just growing halfway up the door. Half the door was like a whitish color. The rest was blackish from the mold. This place was the most disgusting place. But from the outside, if you looked at it from that courtyard by the Jaffa Gate, it looked beautiful. It looked wonderful. And Jason, he looked at it online and said, oh, you know, that should be beautiful. We call ourselves now, we've got a group on WhatsApp called the Petra Survivors. We literally slept that night, all of us we put on all our clothes and slept like this. About 4 a.m, I get a text from one of the other guys, like, Anders, I know you're going to, like, get us out of here, right? So I'm like, and I was already awake, and I was already looking on my phone for other hotels to find, and we left. The paths that start with life lead to death. Solomon wants his son and us to know, and he gives these two examples. The first one is this. I'll call it the path of twisted truth. Verse 12, he says, delivering you from the way of evil. This is what wisdom will do. It'll deliver you from the way of evil, from men of twisted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We're going to call this the path of twisted truth. These are people who turn everything inside out and upside down so that death looks like life and life looks like death. These are paths blazed by twisting what's true so that, you know, we begin to believe that we can be satisfied with parts of life that really don't satisfy, that turn us toward possessions that never really give us what we're looking for, to fame that doesn't last, to power that runs out. And look, the people who walk these paths of twisted truth, these are successful people who everyone looks at and says, wow, look, I like the life they have. I like the things they have. They're usually very attractive people from the outside. But then you've seen it over and over again. You pull back the curtain and there is just death inside. They're empty inside. They're broken inside. They're skeletons inside. But they've built out the facade of life, but inside they're hollow. And this can be true because they've built their life around possessions and having a lot of wealth and things. Or this can be true because they've made themselves very religious. And Jesus said this to the Pharisees. You've built this thing that makes you look so right from the outside, but inside you're a grave. Nothing's inside of you but dead bones. Because you've twisted truth so that you've made things that are really full of death look like they're full of life. And so we look to go after people like that, but wisdom will recognize that what they're saying is actually twisted. Like the serpent in the garden who, did God really say that? And they'll say things like, you know, don't you deserve to be happy? Isn't love just all that matters? Shouldn't you just be free to do whatever you want with your body? You're the only one you can trust. You can do anything you put your mind to. There are these things we say where we twist truths that are just not wisdom. They're thoughtless. They haven't really penetrated to the depth of the matter of who we are. But we say these things. Some of you maybe have said these things, and you hear people say them, and we accept them as common knowledge. They sound like common sense. Our world is full of dead-end paths made by twisted truths. And so you lie to make that sale. Because the twisted truth you believe is that making the sale is the most important thing, not being a person of integrity like God. You lie to get a job. You cheat on your overtime. You take something that doesn't belong to you. This is what happens on the path of twisted truth. When I was working through college on a loading dock, I remember when they instituted the time clock. Up to then, I don't know, we must have signed timesheets, but now we had a time clock and a card we would just swipe, and it would say when we came in and when we went out, when we left for lunch, when we came back from lunch. And my friends and I, we worked the loading dock at this store, and we said, look, you know, we'd get our work done and we were finished. It wasn't a big deal if we took an extra 15 minutes for lunch or half an hour for lunch. A lot of times we came in a little bit early, and so we justified to ourselves saying, you know, we've got to get around this time clock thing. And so kind of came up with the idea, here's what we could do. Swipe out for lunch an hour before we actually leave for lunch. And then when we go to lunch an hour later, swipe back in, and then it's like we just spent the hour at lunch. But then we leave and go to lunch. It was a very intelligent thing to do, right? And that's smart, because now it's not a big deal for 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late. We know we got our work done. We know we're doing everything. It was an intelligent way to do things, but it wasn't a wise way to do things. Because what's more important? To be the kind of person who gets away with cheating and stealing time, or to be a person who is full of integrity and who becomes great because they become like God in every way? Right? What's the wise choice? Because if you'll cheat there, what's to keep you from cheating somewhere else? From starting to steal and take things? What's to keep you from walking down that road? Because every choice you make, when you make a choice to go down the wrong path, it becomes easier to make the next choice and the next choice and the next choice. And pretty sure you're just lost. You're just lost and far from God. Wisdom recognizes when truth is being twisted and wants to become the kind of person who does what God would do, who is like God. Twisted truth is a path to death. The second example he gives is the one we'll call the path of smooth lies. Smooth lies. And he says, starting in verse 16, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress, with her smooth words. This is a prostitute. She forsakes the companion of her youth, her husband, and forgets the covenant with God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed, the dead. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. In other words, she looks so beautiful and inviting, but in the end, when you get to the bottom of her, she's just a cave filled with dead bones. And all the men who've gone down that cave before, you'll find their dead bones there. Oh, but it's so attractive in the beginning. The path starts with smooth and slippery lies that they really appeal to your ego and your pride because, and I don't know if there's a better example of this than him choosing the prostitute, really, who will say whatever it takes to get you to follow her and give her what she wants, right? Those who use the smooth words, the smooth lies that will pull you in just because they want you to give them what they want. And it's so easy because they feed our egos, they feed our desire to be wanted and to be desired. They tap into all of that with their smooth lies. It's easy to spot a lie when it's rough and ugly. But put on some makeup and the right outfit, smooth that lie out a little bit, and we gobble it up. The path of smooth lies promises pleasure but ends in death. A decade or more ago, when the phishing things, scams on the internet were just really starting to blossom, I remember sitting and talking with a young man, not from here, so don't look around trying to figure out who he is, he's not from here, who was married and had this very attractive woman contact him through the internet, and she needed help and she needed finances and she was beautiful. And so he started sending her money that he and his wife didn't have, and his wife found out about it. So all the conversation going on online between them, and that path that looked so beautiful and alluring, whether his motivations were being sexually driven or being altruistically driven, I've got to help this pretty girl out. Either way, it looked like a beautiful path in the beginning, but the end of that path was the death of their marriage. These paths that start looking so beautiful and these paths that lie to you and feed your ego and make you feel so good, we eat that up. We want to go there. Someone makes you feel wanted, makes you feel like, oh, you're amazing. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I am amazing. And it just strokes your ego and pulls you in and sucks you in. And you're so often the path of smooth lies, they have to do with our desire. So often it has to do with our sexual desire. But all of our desires to be wanted and accepted, to feel desirable, our longing for pleasure, our longing for release, we swallow these smooth lies like chocolate-covered candies. The path that strokes your ego is the path to death. And without wisdom, you won't know where the paths in front of you go because they'll look very nice. They'll feel very comfortable in the beginning. And they'll look so full of life in the beginning. But with wisdom, you begin to learn to run from those paths because you begin, wisdom is the ability to see the end of the road from its beginning. Wisdom teaches us that the paths that pretend to start with life end with death. But they also teach us this, the path that starts with death is the path that leads to life. The path that starts with death is the path that leads to life. And here's what I mean. The ultimate expression of God's wisdom was Jesus on the cross. That's what God's word tells us. Listen to how the Apostle Paul explains it. In 1 Corinthians, he says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks alike, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. The Bible says that Jesus gladly walked the road to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He knew this road was going to start with death. He knew this road would start with humiliation and agony. He knew the road started with death, but he also could see the end of the road from the beginning because Jesus is wisdom, and he walked that road for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews tells us. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of us being reconciled to God, the joy of us all living in his wisdom, the joy of us walking this path of wisdom into relationship with God together. Jesus saw the end of this road, and so he chose to walk that path, even though it started with death. And when you and I join Jesus, yes, it starts with your death. Absolutely. If anyone's told you otherwise, then they're lying to you. It doesn't start with, oh, just ask Jesus, and all of a sudden your life will get better. No, it starts with your death. I lay my life down to him. I surrender it. I confess I'm broken, and I ask him for his forgiveness. He is king. I acknowledge that. He is God. I am not. We shed that old life, and we get born into this new life. The path to life starts with death. So to pursue wisdom is to pursue Jesus. And remember again how we pursue. The path of pursuit is first to accept Jesus as the wisdom of God. Because that's the first step of pursuing wisdom. You've got to accept the source of wisdom. So we accept Jesus as the wisdom of God. We then turn our eyes and pay attention to him. Read what he said, read what he did, look at what he said and did. Pay attention to Jesus. Go calling out for Jesus. Jesus, I need wisdom. Go pray, talk to him. Search for him. Like if someone told you there was $1 billion in silver buried in your backyard, how long would it take you to start digging? You wouldn't even go look for a shovel. You just search for Jesus that way. Seriously, think of that. Search for Jesus that way. The same way you would if you found out that money was buried in your backyard. Search for Jesus, this treasure. Pursue Jesus and you'll find wisdom. Team, would you come back? We're going to just worship God a little bit in a moment. But look, for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about a lot of these different crossroad moments that where we're going to need God's help. Crossroad moments of discipline. When we're going through discipline and hard times in life, we've got to know how to respond to that. That's a crossroad moment, right? Friendships are crossroad moments. Work is crossroad moments. Money's a crossroad. Sex is a crossroad. There's all these crossroad moments. Without wisdom, you and I won't recognize when we're at a crossroads, and we won't know what to do. And you and I will keep following the roads that seem easiest because who wants to stop and think about anything anymore? Just got to keep going. But if you and I have wisdom, then what we'll be able to do is from inside of us, because we know God, because we've pursued wisdom, know what to do. We'll be able to see the end from the beginning. And it'll keep you from following these easy roads that promise life in the most obvious ways that seem like their life. Yeah, that's a better job. That's going to give me more money. I'm going to go there. Yeah, that person's really attractive. I'll just date them. Right? All these things that seem obvious, but often lead us to dead-end roads. You've been there, haven't you? Haven't you been in that place where you've come to the point of the death that's at the end of the road of that started in high school when you started smoking? And you're like, oh my gosh, look at where I've ended up with this. Right? You felt that moment, the death that the road took you to when you walked away from God and the church a decade ago, and you're like, okay, I'm going to start going back to church. Because you felt there was this death that ended up happening, and you're missing something. The death that came from the relationship that in the beginning seemed to promise life, but then, oh my gosh, I'm in like a tomb with this relationship. I'm trapped. But in the beginning, it looked like it was a path toward love and family and wonderfulness, but you didn't have God's wisdom. The death of the job, that job led you into, that job that began to suck the life out of you, the job that stole time from you. And it looked great. It looked like it was going to give you a bunch of what you wanted, but in the end, it buried you. You've all been in that moment. And if you've ever experienced that in any way, then what you need, what I need is wisdom. Search for it from God through Jesus. and you'll find yourself in this relationship with God, this eternal supply of wisdom you need. You'll have everything you need. But here's where it starts. Simply here, I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. I think this is funny, but it's so true. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. So here I want you to bake a cake. Step one, bake a cake. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Recognize the genius of that. Recognize the promise of that. If you and I will just this morning just say, I'm going to pursue wisdom. I've been chasing all these other things. I've been so, whatever, busy, preoccupied, apathetic, whatever. I want to get wisdom. You and I make that decision today to do the if part. The then is already guaranteed. The only question is the if. If you and I will pursue wisdom, if you and I will pursue Jesus, then we know we'll know God. We know we'll have wisdom to walk through this life. If. Beginning of getting wisdom, get wisdom. Start to go after. Let's stand together and let's spend a little time worshiping our God who is wisdom. Let's bless him because he's given us more than 10,000.